Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. I'm coming to you in Kenya today. This is a pre-recorded message, but I am in Kenya. And just to give you a brief update, we are in Mumias, Kenya today, and we're worshiping with our brothers and sisters at the little village of Maoni of the suburb of Mumias. Mumias is a larger city where we're staying, and it's about 30 to 40,000 people there in the Mumias area. And Maoni is a little village on the edge of Mumias, and Maoni is where our partner church, the New Hope Fellowship, is, and that's where our partner preschool is, the New Hope Preschool. And we're sponsoring 30 to 40 children there at the New Hope Preschool. And so if you'd like to be a part of sponsoring those children, we have sponsorships available for $20 per month per child. And for that $20, you will see that child get to have a uniform, a mat to sleep on, sandals, and a meal every day, good meal every day, a couple of snacks every day. Meal consists of ugali, cornmeal mush, and hot tea, hot Kenyan tea, milk tea. And so you'll be comforted to know that these children are going to be fed, they're going to be taught the ABCs, they're going to be given a chance in life and a good chance to get to know Jesus Christ and get to know, have an education. And so that's what $20 a month will do. If you think you'd be interested in that, contact me through the contact information or email me pureprairie@hotmail.com. And also we're going to be conducting a conference at the end of the week. And in addition, we're going to be working on the Living Water Orphanage project this week. And we've got money to pour the slab, and we're going to start to pour the slab for the orphanage project. And that will be a 2 to 3 week long project. We're not going to have the team involved with that the whole time, but it will be a 2 week long project to get that slab poured, because they mix all the concrete by hand and work it by hand and smooth it by hand. And so it's a very laborious, slow project. And so we're going to be doing that this week. And also the ladies will be conducting some vacation Bible school or some Bible school teachings with the children at the New Hope Preschool. And so that will also be a part of the agenda this week. And then again, a conference at the end of the week. And so that is going to be a full week for the American team. Then we'll finish up the last 3 days at the Masai Mara Wildlife Refuge, looking at the Big Five, the lions, the cheetahs, the rhinos, the hippos, and the elephants, giraffes, wildebeest. All of that is in great abundance out there at the Masai Mara. And so that's going to be a great time for this American team. If you think you'd like to be a part of an African mission in the years ahead, stay in touch. Get in touch with me at pureprairie@hotmail.com, and we will see to it that you can also come to Africa, fulfill your life's dreams, and take an adventure that you will never forget, take an adventure that you will remember and be proud of for all the rest of your life. And it will help move the kingdom of God forward in Kenya and within your own heart and soul as well. Well, again, today we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 7. This is a follow-up to the messages of the last 2 weeks. If you did not receive those messages or you did not hear those messages, you can go to the website, gathertheoutcast.com. And the website has the radio messages posted each and every week. And so you can listen to those and all the other archives. There's hundreds of radio messages out there. And you can listen to those at your leisure. Each message is about 25 minutes long. And so check those out on the website, gathertheoutcast.com. Last week we took up the first 9 verses in 1 Corinthians 7, and so today we're going to start in verse 10, and Paul goes on to say here, "Now to the married I command you, not I but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband, but even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and a husband is not to divorce his wife. But to the rest I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe, and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. And so this is a command not only from Paul the Apostle, but this is a command from the Lord. And what Paul is saying here is that if a woman leaves a man, or if a man leaves a woman, it is God's desire that they stay single and that eventually they be reconciled back to their husband or back to their wife. And let me just say, for those of you who are in difficult marriages, maybe your marriages have had lots of difficulty, lots of struggles, lots of stress, maybe there's lots of arguments and lots of disagreement, it is God's will that you be reconciled to each other. If you are in a state of separation and maybe living in different domiciles or different houses, it is God's will that you be reconciled back to your husband, back to your wife, not only for the sake of the covenant, if you were actually married, not only for the sake of the covenant where you spoke your vows to each other and you vowed to stay with each other for the rest of your life in sickness and in health and in riches and in poor, and no matter what the situation, you made a vow to each other, you exchanged rings, and so it is God's will that you be reconciled back to your mate, no matter what the situation. And if you will give it time and you will be willing to forgive, forgiveness is the key there, even in situations where pornography has come into the marriage, or where adultery or affairs or even emotional affairs and attachments to other people have come into the marriage. It is God's will that you forgive, that you forgive, that you allow the Holy Spirit to restore and heal, and that you allow that restoration to take place to the point where you can be husband and wife and be intimate with each other and love each other in a way that you never thought was possible, and you love each other in a way that it is a blessing for you, for the kingdom, for the children, and all other parties involved with the marriage. And then Paul takes up the issue about a husband or a wife who has an unbelieving spouse or an unbelieving partner. And this is the issue. Paul says, you are to stay with that unbelieving spouse or that unbelieving wife or husband. You are supposed to stay with them and not divorce them. And you cannot use the reason that they are not a believer. You cannot use that as an excuse or as a reason to put them away or to divorce them or to step out on them. You can't use that as a reason. Many couples go through differences in their kingdom walk. They go through different stages in their kingdom development. Many people are married and they're not believers, and then one of them will come to know the Lord and the other one doesn't understand what in the world is going on with that person that they married, or a person comes to know the Lord and has a zeal and a passion to serve the Lord, and yet they don't know how they can relate to their husband. It becomes very difficult for them to relate to their husband or their wife when their whole worldview has changed because of Jesus Christ coming into their life. Some of you may have seen the movie A Case for Christ, where Lee Strobel's wife came to know Jesus, and she was a born-again believer, and Lee Strobel was an atheist, and he had no idea what was going on with her. It seemed like she had betrayed him. It seemed like she had become a different person, and truly she had. And so that is the situation. When people come to know the Lord, their whole worldview changes, their perspective changes, their priorities change, what they want to do with their time, what they want to do with their money, the kind of people they want to hang around with and associate with and socialize with, all of that changes. And so this brings profound changes into a marriage. It brings profound differences and can really be a wedge of separation between a couple that once maybe was happily married. But what Paul is saying here is, if you are a believer and you have an unbelieving spouse and the unbelieving spouse is willing to live with you, stay committed to you, stay committed to the marriage and the children, then it is God's will that you keep her, that he be your husband or that she be your wife, and that you keep them and you continue in that marriage, because Paul says that that person has a covering from your relationship with the Lord. That person has a covering that allows them to stay in the marriage and to be blessed by the marriage. They receive the same blessing that you have. They're not saved. They're not in a position where they are saved, where they are born again, but they have a covering and a blessing from the Lord that comes from the fact that you are walking with the Lord, so your covering then covers them. And just as a precautionary note, young people, listen up. As a precautionary note, 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "Do not be unequally yoked." Do not be unequally yoked, and this applies to all aspects of life. If you have people that you are associated with, that you are in business with, or people that you socialize with, you are not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 6:14, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever?" And verse 16, "What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, 'I will dwell in them, I will walk with them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.' Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you." And verse 18, "I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." And so the Lord is saying that we are not to be unequally yoked. And young people, when you date, you find out if you are a believer, you find out if that person you're dating, where they stand with Jesus Christ. If they are an unbeliever, don't think that you can necessarily bring them along into a place of salvation, that you can bring them along. Don't missionary date thinking that you can save people that you're dating. And do not date people of other faiths. Do not date people who have no walk with the Lord. If you are doing that, you're inviting disaster, you're inviting problems. If you should happen to get serious with this person and you start to get the flesh involved and you start to become attracted to this person, then it is very, very difficult. If you get in a marriage situation, it is very difficult for that person then to have the same worldview, the same viewpoint. They cannot and they will not. And so that brings great dissension and disagreement into the marriage relationship. And so the best thing, and this applies in business relationships also, and just in social relationships, when you are yoked with unbelievers, you put yourself in a very difficult and strenuous situation from the very beginning. And so the best place to stop it is at the beginning. Don't start up a relationship, especially a dating relationship, if you are a believer. Don't start up a dating relationship with an unbeliever, and then you don't have to put yourself in that compromising situation. So Paul goes on here in verse 14, "For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise your children would be unclean, but now they are holy." And so again, what Paul is saying, just to reemphasize, they're not saved by their relationship with the believer. That is a personal thing. Each person, no matter whether they're married, single, or whatever, every person has to come to know the Lord Jesus on their own and be born again on their own. But they are in a sanctified position with the Lord. They are in a sanctified relationship with their believing spouse. In other words, the covering that their believing spouse gives them because of the believing spouse's relationship with the Lord, that covering sanctifies them and protects them, and it also protects the children. The children are clean And they are holy because of this covering. They are sanctified because of this covering. And so this is very important. And this is a lesson for us, beloved, that even one person in the family, even one person can change the whole nature and relationship of the family. Even one person can sanctify the family and present that family holy before the Lord. The children are holy. The unbelieving spouse is sanctified, and so even one believer, and beloved, if you are a believer, keep praying for your family. If you're yoked to an unbelieving spouse, keep praying for that, because you don't know when God may touch that person in a mighty way. Well, Paul goes on to say, if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. So this is one of the justifiable reasons for divorce, is that if an unbeliever decides, because of the believing spouse, they don't want to be yoked to a believer, they don't want to be married to a Christian. Sometimes this happens. The unbeliever just cannot tolerate the Christian. They cannot abide with the Christian. And so if they leave, Paul says, you are not under obligation then to stay married. You are not under obligation to stay yoked to them. And so Paul says, let them go. Let them go. Rather than there be a lifetime of dissension and disagreement and argument, go ahead and let them go, because God has called us to peace. And then Paul goes on to say, how do you know, verse 16, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? In other words, you don't know if you're going to be able to pray enough to save your husband. You don't know if your husband is going to be broken at some point and come to know the Lord Jesus. And again, this is the reason why you don't missionary date. This is the reason why you do not get married to an unbeliever, because some people are very stubborn. They may live their whole life without acknowledging Jesus Christ as their Lord. They may live their whole life and be stiff-necked and stubborn and decide right after the wedding, I'm not going into church. I'm never going to set foot in church or do anything. I've talked to couples that have been in this situation where they have been in dissension, disagreement for many, many years. So Paul is saying, you don't know if you're going to be able to pray enough or fast enough or go to church enough or whatever to bring that unbeliever into the kingdom of God. And so Paul says, if they go, if they insist on going, let them go and let them be who they want to be. And Paul says, you are not under obligation or bondage to be married in such situation. Well, verse 17, as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, let him walk. And so I ordain in all the churches. Was anyone called while circumcised, or in other words, while a Jew? Let him not become uncircumcised. Then Paul goes on to say, was anyone called while uncircumcised? In other words, while you were a Gentile, were you called? Let him not be circumcised. In other words, don't try to conform to the laws of the Jews or keep the law if you were called while you were a Gentile. And we have that today. Many people not necessarily attempt to follow the Jewish lifestyle or whatever the Jews believe, but just they try to keep the law. They want to try to obtain salvation by keeping the law. They believe church attendance, or they believe communion, or they believe baptism, or some other type of thing is what guarantees their salvation. Beloved, your salvation is guaranteed by one thing and one thing only, and that is your born-again relationship, your born-again experience, your confession of faith, your repentance. Turn from your wicked ways and repent of your sin, because you need Jesus Christ as a Savior, because the blood that He shed for you is the only way, the only passage that you have into the kingdom of God. It is the only passage that will assure your place in heaven. And no ritual, no tradition, no baking pies for the church dinners or attendance at Bible studies or anything else, that does not guarantee your salvation. It comes only through the blood of Jesus. And when you recognize that you are a sinner and you repent from your sinful ways and you turn to the Lord and you accept that sacrifice, that blood atonement, that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that is where your salvation comes from. So Paul says, circumcision is nothing, uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Then Paul repeats in verse 20, let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while you were a slave? Do not be concerned about it, because if you can be made free, rather use that. And then Paul says, for he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's free man. In other words, the Lord frees you up if you're a slave, and there was many back in those days. The Lord frees you up. The Lord will set you free even while you're in bondage as a slave. The Lord's freedom, it was for freedom that Christ set you free. Galatians 5:1, it was for freedom that Christ set you free. That freedom is given to you even though you are a slave in the natural. And then Paul says, if you are likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. So you become a slave to Jesus Christ even if you are free. If you're not slave to another man, you enslave yourself to Jesus Christ, and you then are in bondage to Jesus. Paul many times called himself a bond slave or a bond servant of Jesus Christ, and that means to us that Paul was willing to stay as a slave to Jesus even though he had his freedom. And for every one of us born again believers, beloved, you should be a bond slave to Jesus Christ. You should say, Jesus, what can I do to serve you? How can I serve you? My life is not my own. Beloved, if you're listening to me out there today and you have no purpose or plan and you call yourself a Christian, you need to get down on your knees and you need to spend more time in prayer and find out what God's plan, what His purpose, what His destiny is for you. And then you become a slave to Jesus Christ in regards to what God reveals to you, and quit wandering around, wasting your time, wasting your days, wasting your months and your years in leisure and pleasure and all these things that living in America offers us. You need to become a bond slave to Jesus Christ and submit your life to Him and let Him direct your days, let Him direct your steps, and let Him direct you into your calling and into your destiny. Paul says in verse 23, you were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. In other words, don't just submit yourself to men and go about man's plan for your life. Find out a higher plan, a higher purpose, a higher calling for your life, and submit your life to Jesus and get started in acting and participating. Be a willing participant in that plan for your life. And when you do that, beloved, then you have true freedom. That is really what freedom is all about. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And God wants you to have that freedom in your life. Brethren, verse 24, Paul wraps up this passage of Scripture here in verse 24. Let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. And so if you're single, when God called you, when you became a born-again believer and God put the call on your life, if you were single, Paul says, if you're able to, if you're willing to, stay single. If you're married, when you received a call, when you became a born-again believer and you are married and you have a family, you do your best to be everything God wants you to be in that marriage relationship, raising your children. That is your mission field. That is your project number one. And you do that to the best of your ability. And wherever it is that God calls you, and in what situation, or what place, or what circumstance God calls you, you stay there. And to the best of your ability, if you are able, you be everything that God wants you to be in that situation. Verse 27, are you bound to a wife? Paul says, do not seek to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife? Do not seek to have a wife. And verse 28, but even if you do marry, you have not sinned, and if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, you will have trouble in the flesh, but I would spare you. Well, Paul is saying, for those who are married, or for those who are thinking about marriage, you are going to have trouble in the flesh. And I think anybody married would agree with that, that there is trouble in marriage. It's not always easy, but there's great blessings in marriage. I'm not trying to discourage anyone from being married, or if you're in a marriage, I'm not trying to discourage you from staying married. God's will is that if you are married, you stay married till the rest of your life. But Paul is saying it is sometimes a struggle. It is sometimes a struggle with your children. It is sometimes a struggle with your spouse. There are always issues that need to be worked out. Communication is key, and sometimes people just don't communicate with each other, be able to work out all the problems that they have. But by the grace of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the spirit of compromise, the spirit of restoration, and the spirit of forgiveness that comes through the Holy Spirit and through the grace of God, you can work out your problems. I don't care how bad your marriage is, or how maybe you've given up on it and you've thrown in the towel and said, I'm finished. God can restore. Even if you're living in separate houses, God can restore, and He will restore everything that the devil has stolen from you and taken from your marriage. Well, once again, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We're in Africa as I speak today, and I have a team with me, and we're excited to be doing the work for the Lord. This could be your destiny as well. You can be over here with me someday. It would be a great and exciting thing for you to do. And so if you would be interested in doing that, email me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. If you've never made a donation to help support these radio broadcasts or the Africa mission, I urge you to do that today. Get involved with Gather the Outcast Ministry. Get involved with the Kingdom of God, and you will be blessed, and the Kingdom will be blessed. Stay tuned for contact information. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.